Hey, welcome again to Skycomish Community Church. We are a word-preaching and a people-loving community, and today we're going to preach the word, and we continually always love the people. The announcements haven't changed much, just a couple things that I want to mention before I go on the printed announcements. Tomorrow is Memorial Day, and it is a day it's going to be celebrated differently this year in the world than it has been in the past. But just remember all those that have laid their lives down for us. I think that the ultimate example is Jesus Christ laying his life down for each of us to cover our sins, to cover our faults, our guilt. And we're grateful for that. But we're also grateful for people that are willing to sacrifice in many different ways, and the way that people have been asked to sacrifice over the last couple months has been to try to stay home and stay healthy and keep others healthy, to wear masks, to wash our hands more often, to do everything we can to prevent the spread of an invisible enemy. And it's, I think, appropriate in church to talk about the invisible, because we serve a God that we can't see. And yet he demonstrated his love to us, and we could certainly see the manifestation of God through Jesus Christ as he came and dwelt among us and was the exact image of God as he showed us what we had been created to be in God's image. For those of you that are going to spend time with family or go to gravesides or just spend time in remembrance of ones that have laid their lives down for you, for freedom, for love of country, love of individuals that they represented in various different conflicts, just be aware that God is with you, and even though you can't see him, he's even more real than other things that we seem to believe in, even though we can't see them. I also want to just talk a very short time about the reopening. I sent a text message out to about 50 of you yesterday. And if you didn't get that and you would like to see what it said, for the most part, it's on the church website, skycomishcommunitychurch.com, and you can just look at the top post. And we have no idea as a church when we are going to be able to have public meetings together again, but we do know the one that does know. And Jesus is aware of all of the things that need to be put into place before this happens. I'm trusting that it will be soon. I don't think it's going to have to be a great distance into the future, but when we do come back together, I think more important than just being in the same room is having unity and loving each other fully. And that may mean that some people choose to stay home because they've got a cough or sniffles or some sort of other symptoms. That may mean that some people stay home because they're vulnerable and they are concerned about being out in the public and being exposed. And we want to do everything we can to limit exposure and still find ways to serve everyone that wants served. So let's just love each other through this process. As far as the announcements that are in the printed file that you can access, all gatherings are still on hold. And that's continues to be according to our governor and the King County Health Department's mandate that we cannot gather until phase two. And even then, it's only up to 5 people outside your household per week. We're looking at phase 3 still, unless something gets modified or changed by our local authorities. We're still looking at phase 3 for the reopening. And in the meantime, we will find ways to love each other. We'll find opportunities to be with each other. hopefully starting sometime within the next week or so, we'll be able to go to phase two, and that will enable restaurants to be open to up to 50% capacity. And I think it would be appropriate for us to find opportunity to get together with people that want to be together. And if we can support some local businesses that have had to struggle through this as well, that's another way to encourage people. And if we can spur one another on to love and good deeds and unity and all of the things that children of light are supposed to be demonstrating, I think that'd be a good thing. So don't assume because we can't meet in the church building with the church pews that we're not able to find ways to love each other. Let's just even press in further on that. And I know it's been long and tedious for this stay home order, but I think we're coming close to the end of the worst of it. And Lord willing, we won't end up having to have things shut down again come fall when flu season kicks in and people are worried about another outbreak. Just pray, Lord Jesus, that you will control all of the authorities to make wise decisions, that you will help them think before they act, and help all of us to do the same, to find ways to demonstrate love even at a distance. Vacation Bible School hopefully will still happen. We're thinking we're on target for that, but don't like to make promises that we can't keep. If it does happen, we're looking at August, sometime in August. And again, if you choose to send an offering, it can be mailed to Skycomish Community Church. The address is on the notes, or you can go on the website and just push the donate button, and you can set up a regular ongoing gift, or you can do a one-time gift there as well. So that there's ways to take care of that. The prayer spotlight for this week is Jeff and Kristen Goodwin from Loma, Colorado, at Loma Community Church. It's an unincorporated area in the high desert valley of western Colorado between Utah border and the city of Grand Junction, Colorado. And people drive the short distance to the cities of Grand Junction, Fruta, Clifton, and Orchard Mesa for just about everything, including schools, restaurants, stores, activities, and more than 100 churches. They have a lot of churches in that area. Those who stay rural for church at Loma Community Church find it to be a place that helps families grow up in Christ together, learning how to live for God by His Word. Pray that the church body will impact and influence their relational worlds for Jesus by living their lives for Him and speaking on His behalf. Pray for our many ministries, and pray for us, for Jeff and Kristen, as they lead the localized body of believers to live in the world, but not of the world. And now we move to the sermon portion of this morning. Father, we come to you knowing that you have called us out of darkness into your wonderful light. I pray that today will be a day that the light is much stronger than the darkness, and a time that light overcomes darkness through this study of your word. Amen. Ephesians 5:11, title of this sermon is Fruitless Deeds of Darkness. Today's text is Ephesians 5:11. If you're looking in your pew Bibles, that's page 1788, Kathy. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. In introduction, have nothing to do with has been translated in other translations as take no part in, or do not participate in, have no fellowship with, don't even associate with. So there's a wall that's being built between you and the deeds of darkness, the fruitless deeds of darkness. And fruitless, it's unfruitful. There's no life in it. There's no continuation with these deeds of darkness, that these works, these acts of evil, these acts of darkness, that they need to just stop. The fruitless deeds of darkness in this verse are contrasted with the fruit of the light that's mentioned back in verse 9, just a couple verses earlier. Well, walking in the light is going to do something for you. It's going to produce life. Associating with darkness is fruitless. I'm going to try to put this in context. And going back to, all the way back to verse 1 of chapter 5, and just looking at where this came into effect here. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. And when we're looking today at the concept of fruitless deeds of darkness, why would, in that context, sexual immorality, impurity, greed be listed? Well, those are things that we as humans like to do in the dark, in hidden places. We like to try to do everything we can to conceal that sort of thing. When it gets brought to light, that's a good thing. Even though it's like, wow, I've been caught. That's bad, right? But no, it's good, because then we can turn to God and we can recognize that we're doing our life and everything is seen by him. We can't hide from him. We can't go into any place that's so dark that he can't see us, because he is light. So thinking about these types of things, greed, impurity, sexual immorality, those are things that people try to put behind a smoke screen or hide or do in the dark. We want to talk about, in this concept, in this context, bringing things to light. Continuing on, nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. People that are immoral, impure, or greedy are idolaters. They're finding something more important than God to worship. They've tried to hide themselves from God. Well, that's impossible. And be sure your sins will find you out is a verse that was drilled into me growing up. And they did, often. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. There will be consequences. People can think they're getting away with something. There's a group of Nigerian individuals that think they've gotten away with hundreds of millions of dollars from the unemployment ranks for Washington State and other states. And their deeds are starting to be found out. And even if in this world, in this life, they're not all brought to justice, God knows all. He's seeing things that are done in the hidden places, and he will bring light to that. So we're not to have any part of, we're having nothing to do with fruitless deeds of darkness. And why is that? Well, Paul says in this letter, for you were once darkness. We were part of that mess, that we were darkness. But now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For fruit of light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. That's the context that this text is found in, and I think it's pretty obvious that Paul's not running around and changing a lot of topics. He really is saying the same thing. And he hasn't really even changed from back in chapter 4, where he was exhorting us to put off those things that we shouldn't have any part of, fruitless deeds of darkness, And then to put on the good things, the life, the light, all of the goodness and purity and righteousness. And how do we do that? Well, again, back in chapter 4, he talked about how you needed to change the attitude of your mind. If the attitude of our mind is we think we can get away with something, we're going to seek after the fruitless deeds of darkness. The attitude of our mind needs to be changed. And how do you change that attitude? Well, you expose those deeds. And so when you or your children or your spouse is participating in deeds of darkness, how do we, as a word-preaching, people-loving community, help? We try to shed light on whatever it is that's being done in the hidden places, in the darkness. And we expose it so that we can be in the light. And we can walk in the light. And then we can have the fruit of the light in our lives. That fruit of a light that is all goodness, righteousness, and truth, and pleasing to God. I'm going to spend some time in a few verses and then basically just have two main texts today that I'll look at in contrast to or in support of Ephesians 5:11 here. There's a number of passages in Scripture, and I could have gone lots and lots of different places, but I'm going to narrow it down. John chapter 8, verse 12 says, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. If we're wandering around out in the dark and we don't have a lamp or a light with us, it's awfully nice to have somebody near us, with us, that we can follow that has that light or that lamp. And Jesus is the light of the world. He's here to light up our path, to lead us in paths of righteousness, to help us to walk in the straight way. And if we just follow him, we'll be in the light. And we won't have to walk in the darkness. That's John 8:12. Then in Romans 13, basically verse 12, but I'm going to put it back in context again and add 13 and 14 there. Verses 13 and 14 also. In Romans chapter 13, verse 12, the night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness. There's that language again of putting off, getting rid of what we don't need. Put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. We think of light as something that we talk about, the fruit of light, that Jesus is the light. Well, now there's the armor of light. And later in Ephesians, we're going to talk about putting on the armor of God. So it's really important that we recognize if we eliminate darkness and don't replace it with light, you don't have anything. What's even less than darkness? I mean, there's a vacuum there that's crying out for something, and light is the only true answer. Jesus is the answer. So Paul's saying, let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissensions and jealousy. So there's a number of lists in Scripture. This is another one of those lists that talks about some of the deeds of darkness. And any time you start thinking about, okay, what shouldn't we be doing? Well, it's easy to come up with a list because we're real familiar with all the stuff we're not supposed to do, oftentimes by experience. This dissension and jealousy and all that kind of stuff, it's something that we participate in. It's something that we experience ourselves. We shouldn't have any of that. Rather, on the opposite side, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. So if we're putting on the armor of light, it's the same thing. It's another way of saying clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ. And do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. Gratifying the desires of the flesh is another way to talk about the deeds of darkness. One more passage before I get to a couple of sections of John. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Church, we are a chosen people. We're God's holy nation. We're the ones that he called. We're the called ones. We're called to the light. We're called out of darkness and into his wonderful light. The two passages I want to spend time with, it's the book of John and an epistle from John. And I'm going there because John is this disciple that Jesus loved. John is probably on earth was the closest to Jesus. Maybe Mary was closer. It's hard to say, you know, with the family relationship, but John was right there, close enough that when Jesus is on the cross, he tells John, "Hey, will you take care of my mom?" He was close. There was deep love between John and Jesus. And when John writes in the book of John, the epistle of John, or the epistles of John as well, when he writes in a Revelation even, he talks a lot about darkness and light. And he talks a lot about the fact that he got to experience and see God himself. And so we look at the book of John. And in John chapter 1 and verse 1, in your pew Bibles, that's on page 1618. Here's John the Apostle, and he's writing about what he thinks is the most important. What do you open up a book with? It's like this is really what the foundation should be for everything else that he talks about through the rest of this gospel. And he says, in the beginning, so he's going way back. I mean, we think maybe, okay, now we're in Genesis, right? In the beginning. In the beginning was the Word. We could be in Genesis. He's saying, yeah, this is, you know, I want you to know, people, and John knew his Old Testament. He knew what was Hebrew Scripture at that time. He knew it well. And so when he says in the beginning, he's not just coming up with a phrase that's popular and fun to think about. He's actually saying, you know, back when everything was created, I want to tell you about a guy that I met that was there. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life. And that life was the light of all mankind. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. Well, how do we expose the fruitless deeds of darkness? We bring them into the light. And that's Jesus. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Now, this is John the Apostle writing about John the Baptizer. So these are two different Johns. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify. To testify about what? To testify concerning the light, so that through him all might believe. Through the light. He himself, John the Baptizer, was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own. He came to creation. He came to the world that he made. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet, to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children of the light. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, "This is the one I spoke about when I said, He who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. Out of his fullness we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given. Now there's a type of grace. One type of grace is it's like, okay, I'm going to give you the law. Why do we have the law? Scripture states that we have the law to show us where our faults are. The law is a form of light. It points out what we're doing wrong that we need to change. That's one type of grace, but there's something that's even better than that. Out of his fullness, we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. How do we see God? We see him through Jesus, his Son. If you want to know God, if you want to seek the Lord, you seek your Savior, you get to know Jesus. Jesus has shown the glory of God to the world. That's really John's message here. John, the apostle, is writing and saying, I got to see God. I got to see the creator of all things. I got to see the light that comes into the world. And then there's another book that he writes. He actually has three little short epistles, letters that he's written. And in 1 John, I'm going to read a good chunk of this today, because there's some themes that keep coming up. These same themes are throughout all of Scripture, but they were just in John chapter 1, Gospel of John chapter 1, and now we're in 1 John. I'm going to read chapter 1 and part of chapter 2. And you're going to see these themes. You're going to see the theme of Word again. In the beginning was the Word. You're going to see life, light, and how lives will be changed. If you meet your Maker, if you meet your Creator, your life will be changed. If you believe, it's changed for the good. If you don't believe, you're condemned. So 1 John, chapter 1, on page 1859 in the Pew Bible. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes. John was an eyewitness, and he's saying we because he was with other people here. Which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched. This we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared. We have seen it and testify to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you may also have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. I think it's important to John that he lets his readers know, I saw Jesus. I walked with him. I listened to him. I touched him. We were together. And I want you to know the same joy that we know from knowing Jesus. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. So we're in verse 5 right now of 1 John chapter 1. This is the message that we have heard. We heard this message from Jesus and we're going to declare it to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. So if you want to have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, follow Jesus. Because God is light. There's no darkness in him. If you want to get rid of your deeds of darkness, follow the light. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. John is saying here that if you're walking in the light, if you know Jesus, if you're walking with Jesus, there's not going to be any darkness, because when you're with Jesus, there's no darkness at all. He's light, and the light shines so bright that it overcomes and overshadows all the darkness. Now, we can claim that we're followers of Jesus, but if people look at us and recognize, and if we recognize in ourselves that we're walking in darkness, we can't say, yeah, I've got this bad side, and then I've got this good side. It's not like the little cartoon with an angel and a devil on your shoulders. And I guess in the cartoon, those are outside influences, but you're going to know right away which one you want to follow. If you're walking in the light, you won't even see the darkness. You'll just continue straight in the path that has been created for you. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful. The light is faithful. Jesus is faithful. And He's just. And He will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make Him out to be a liar, and His word is not in us. We can't go to God and say, yeah, you deserve me because I'm so wonderful. I get to be in your presence because we're equals. That's not how you approach God. Recognize that He's the light, and He's shining on us, those of us that were darkness, but now are in the light. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. Don't you love that John recognizes, yeah, you may fall, you may sin, you may have sin in your life. Get back to the light. Get back to the dark, away from the darkness and back to the light. Get back to your advocate. We do have somebody that's up in heaven saying, hey, I covered that sin. I paid for that. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. We know that we have come to know Him if we keep His commandments. Do you want to know whether you're saved or not? Do you want to know whether you're a follower of Jesus, whether you're part of the body of Christ, whether you're a child of God, if you're adopted and accepted in the Beloved? If you want to know if that's you, check out whether or not you're keeping His commandments. And if you think you can keep His commandments in your own strength, you missed the first command. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, purpose, spirit, etc., etc. It's like if we don't place God first and recognize that He is the one that we walk in His righteousness, not in our own righteousness, we're not truly keeping the commands. We can only do that through His strength. Whoever says, back in 1 John again, whoever says, I know Him, but does not do what He commands is a liar, and the truth is not in that person. But if anyone obeys His word, love for God is truly made complete in them. This is how we know we are in Him. Whoever claims to live in Him must live as Jesus did. That's a hard word. Living as Jesus did means I put others above myself. Living as Jesus did means I can be reviled and put down and ridiculed and lambasted, and I'll just take it with grace. How do we know that we're in Him? We live like Him. Dear friends, I'm not writing you a new command, but an old one, which you have had since the beginning. This old command is the message you have heard. Yet I am writing you a new command. Its truth is seen in Him and in you, because of the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Anyone who claims to be in the light, now look at this closely because this is kind of scary if you look at your own hearts. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother or sister is still in the darkness. Anyone who loves their brother and sister lives in the light, and there is nothing in them to make them stumble. You don't stumble around because you're in the light. You're not in the darkness. You can see where you're going. But anyone who hates a brother or sister is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. They do not know where they are going because the darkness has blinded them. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. I'm still in the book of John, but I've jumped back to the Gospel of John and to chapter 3. Very familiar verse, and some of the verses following it. For God so loved the world, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. But whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. If someone chooses not to believe, that's not on God, that's on them. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. These verses are not saying that if you're walking with Jesus, you're never going to do bad things. But we come back to Jesus and we let those bad things be seen by him because we know that we can't fix it, but he can. And he did. He's an atoning sacrifice. He covered our sins. If you want to see plainly, go to the light. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. If we can do that as the body of Christ, if we can expose deeds of darkness and do it in love, we can draw people back to Jesus, who wants to give light to the whole world. Thank you, Jesus. We're so humbled that you cared enough to come and dwell among us, to live a perfect life and to lay your life down willingly so that I can wear your robes of righteousness. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And now to him who's able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.